Best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question: which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now.
Hello, friends. Susan Axelrod here, your host of this Book Show podcast, Your Book, My Time. You're in for a good one today, friends. If I ask you this question, what does personal pleasure mean to you? What comes up for you? What do you think about when you hear the phrase pleasure and personal pleasure? And this one, deliciousness. I am delighted to bring to you today an important conversation with Julia Paulette Hollenberry, author of The Healing Power of Pleasure, Seven Medicines for Rediscovering the Innate Joy of Being. Hello, Julia. Welcome to the show today.
Hello, Susan. Thank you. Loved your intro.
I honestly, everything about the phrase personal pleasure, I think it's important. I can't wait for us to discuss it. And then also, of course, your use of the word deliciousness in the groups that we're in together, in places that I have followed you. I have seen you talk about your website, which I'll ask you to share in a minute, and use of the word deliciousness. And every single time it's come up, Julia, someone says to you, "I love that." Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So give us your website right from the outset.
Okay. Don't usually begin with that, but it is theuniverseofdeliciousness.com.
The reason I begin with this, Julia, is I created this book show to give authors voice, presence, space, platform to share their seminal messaging. Many people do have a book in them. Many people want to write a book, but most people never do it. But you did. You got through the process and your output is outrageous. And I want people to know right away, and we'll put it in the podcast notes, of course. I want people to know right from the outset what we're talking about here. So tell me, I always ask my authors this question, which is a question that many people want to know when they read a book, and that is, what is the story behind your story of the book?
It's a great question. So I just can flash you quickly. This is the book.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think it is.
Hold it up one more time. Yeah, there we go. The Healing Power of Pleasure. It's beautiful.
It is actually a beautiful object. The story behind the story, I guess, is that all my life, from being a small girl, I always knew that I would one day write a book. I began writing the first part when I was in my mid-20s. Knowing that when I was healed and evolved, the second part would be written. And that is exactly what happened. Wow. I began writing a few years ago and it's been published, distributed worldwide. It's getting great reviews, endorsements, reader responses. So it's really born from my heart, from what my heart knows and wants to share. It comes, from deep within me to help
And I'm imagining that your 20s were a few years ago. So the reason I bring that up.
It's half a lifetime ago, yes.
Half a lifetime ago. So the reason I bring this up, of course, I work with women in what I call the second half of life, which actually starts, according to the actuarial tables, at about age 42 and a half for women. And the reason I bring it up is that you would always know that you would write a book. You would have that. That's what I call, as soon as you said that, I said, oh, that's soul resonance.
Right.
That's soul showing herself to you early. And then you said, I knew that the rest of it would come as I, you know, grew into, I call this into my maturity, you know, as women were in our maturity. And also because obviously the soul showed herself so early that you were in deep soul maturity. AKA wisdom came up in you, and then you lived your experience, and then you really wrote the next part or the second part of the book. This is, like you said, like a lifetime of commitment. And I want to talk about this because, again, in my work as a coach for women in the second half of life, so many have this soul resonance and wisdom, but they don't do anything with it. And I love that your platform of pleasure can help people do something with what's in them.
Absolutely. It's can be hard to listen to it, but for me, it was the most powerful driving force. And of course, my life hasn't been easy. There's been ups and downs. And in the difficult times, I really wasn't sure that I would manage to do this thing that I knew that I needed to do. So I've been very deeply committed.
Mm. Wow, there's so many messages here. So first of all, at a young age, you had a knowing. And what I want to call in here is trust. So the story behind this story was that a knowing showed itself and you trusted it. You said, I always knew that.
I call it knowing without knowing. Mm. And I have lived my life according to this. It guides me. Mm. And of course, that's what I am inviting people to do, to allow themselves to be lived by this deeper, richer, wiser intelligence. I also call it our instinctual intelligence.
Mm. I'm looking down every now and then because I'm writing notes that I want to comment on. So for our listeners, when Julia just said, it guides us, I lifted up my body, I brought my shoulders back, I opened my hands, because I really want to all of us to allow ourselves in this conversation to allow that instinctual resonance to come up. And allow ourselves to be guided, because as women, that allowing is often not the case, Julia. Isn't that true? Is that what you find?
I think all humans can struggle with it because we're so pressurized and programmed to do all the things that we think we ought to do and be. And it's hard to heed those deep impulses. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but it does take a certain kind of commitment to really living one's soul destiny. And what I want to add, I guess, is how satisfying that is.
Mm.
That's why it matters.
Mm.
To do good for others and to do good for ourselves, right?
That's so beautiful. how good it is when you do this. I really, really love the subtitle of your book. First of all, I already talked about the healing power of pleasure. I love the use of the word pleasure because we are really ingrained, right? And you said pressurized, programmed, not to allow the world of pleasure. But the subtitle, Seven Medicines for Rediscovering the Innate Joy of Being. So my first book that I published, an anthology of articles I wrote for a magazine, is called Your Job is to Be. And I even have merchandise in my shop. I wore my shirt yesterday, my Your Job is to Be shirt. And so when you talk about the innate joy of being, the, just the title of your book alone actually has such deep potential resonance and deep potential impact. So how did you come up with the seven medicines idea?
When I came to write the second part of the book, it was clear, actually, really clear. Slow, body, depth, relationship, pleasure, and power. And it was the seventh medicine potency that I had to really reach for. I didn't actually know what it was going to be. So all of the others, I absolutely knew what they were. I was full of stuff. You know, I'd been living it and reading about it and teaching it for a long time. And potency, I had to really reach for to find out actually what is it.
I love the word potency, actually. Yeah. I love everything about it, especially for women. My market is women actually in business for themselves, working in their passion space. And that's another reason I love this book, is how it will support, people to really give themselves permission to, I call it that soul intuition to rise. Another thing that you just said, I want to really call out and say again, which is what you just said was, I was living it. I was living all that. The first six you said were all in me. This is how I heard, you know, what you said. It was all in me. And I wanted to really reiterate this, because that is your authenticity as an author. And that is, this isn't like, oh, I learned this for a few minutes and then I wrote about it and moved on. Even in the story behind the story, we learn of the very deep decades-long resonance of the material that you're sharing in this book, don't we?
The book is quite rich and dense. It includes a lot. So there's a lot in it from my direct experience, but there's a lot that other people have said before me that I quote, for example. There's a lot of people who've also lived it, the examples of their lives. Mm. So the material is dense and rich and full of, you know, science and spirituality and this and that. So it's a real, like, being steeped in it. Mm. I have the image all of a sudden of like a sponge pudding, you know, like a sponge pudding that's soaked in syrup. And, you know, you soak up all that delicious yumminess.
So I just want to say, for our listeners today, we have viewers and then we have listeners. And when Julia did that, we both sort of moved our body in unison to be like, ooh, that's so delicious. The syrup soaking into the sponge pudding. That's so great. The second question that I ask is always answered in the conversation. And the question is, why is your book worth our time to read? And the answer that you just gave about science and spirituality, about deepness, about richness, about the opportunity for somebody who's going to take this book and use it as a resource, as a tool, I guess, I don't know if you would use that word, that's what's showing itself to me, as a tool to go through, find which of the medicines you need, perhaps, and make sure you get all the way to potency, of course. But that makes this book like a resource. Do you think of it as a tool or a resource for people's lives?
I think it's a guidebook, actually, a guidebook into the universe of deliciousness. That's exactly what the book is. And it can be read from front to back, or one can pick it up. I've heard of people using it like this and using it like a divination tool, you know, just picking it up and, oh, that section is just what I need to read and hear today. And there's a resonance that absolutely fits. So each of the seven medicines is, I call them paradigm shifting medicines. Paradigm shifting medicines. So each one is full of inspiration and philosophy, yes, science, all sorts of things, plus and fun, right? The book is quite fun and lively as well, I think. I've been told, I've heard. And there are 50, I think there's 52 practical exercises. So each of the seven medicines offers readers the opportunity to put into practice, to develop for themselves a daily practice. And it's up to each person, of course, how they want to put all the pieces together for themselves.
I love this because it's like we get to make our own map. We get to make our own map of this. Yeah. And I love the idea that the book is like a divination tool. I also love, as the author, you're so not connected to the right way it should be going for the reader, but rather inviting the reader to use it the right way for them.
It was written that way. It was written that way, inviting people to use it their way.
Yeah, I really love that so much. And I think that now the 52 practical exercises in my business coaching world, I always hit on the number 52, obviously weekly. And so we have the opportunity here to learn one of the practical exercises and to practice it for a week's time, and then call in the next one and the next. And then over time, you really truly are using these paradigm shifting medicines to what? Shift your life. So Julia, you know, again, if I think about this idea, I don't know how many people there are who knew at such a young age they were going to write a book. And then they started writing a book in their 20s. And then over some period of time, lengthy period of time later, came back and went into the completion state of that book. And I think that that really is such a deeply powerful positioning of this book, because I think that that's more unusual. It would seem to me, it would be more like, oh, well, I wrote that then, but here's who I am now. So I'm writing something different. But it's clear there was a calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it is clear there's a calling, that all my life, what I've been trying to articulate and encourage has always been the same thing. If I look back through previous workshops or other things that I've written, the message is always clear. The part that I wrote in my 20s was really a raw emotional rant. There was actually only one poem from all of that that made it into this final book.
Interesting. This is such an important lesson. So I want to speak directly to our viewers and our listeners. I love what you're sharing here, Julia, that there was all of this going on in your 20 plus year old self. And I even have my eyes closed because this is really very powerful. At this stage of life, we have the opportunity to go back and listen, maybe read the old journals or poems or writings, as you obviously did, and listen and honor our 20 plus year old self that you're talking about. And the third book that I wrote is called Dear Younger Self. And this book that I'll be publishing later this year is called Dear Future Self. And all of this is so rich that you're showing us that you honored. And as a result of honoring this, you came up with this paradigm shifting book that people can use to create a map to what I call design their life forward. Does that resonate with you, Julia?
Very much. You see, I think that we don't create from our heads. I think that we create and live and enjoy from our bodies. So the whole of the book is a call to people. And as I'm talking, I realize my own hands are rubbing across my legs, right? The whole book is a call to people to fully inhabit their body and their life. And I think that's not done by just changing sentences in your head. It's done by really being here at home in the body and listening to the information that it has for us. So yes, designing our life from the happy, healthy position of being really at home over here. Then we're powerful. Then we're powerful.
And Julia, for our listeners, Julia, when she said over here, she put her hand up on her heart. And I don't know if you noticed, but when you started talking just now, I put both hands on my heart for the same exact reason. I love the embodiment of which you're speaking. I've learned, it took me a very long time in my life, Julia, to learn of the power of, I call it embodiment. I'm starting a Qigong course myself, certification course myself, and it's all about exactly what you're talking about, including, they call it self-massage.
Right.
One style of which is stroking.
Right. So our culture, our civilization does not encourage us to be here in our body. And in the end, it doesn't matter what people choose. Can be dance, can be Qigong, can be music or singing or running or skipping or yoga or kickboxing or anything. It really doesn't matter what. It matters that we do things that bring us back repeatedly to our body, because modern life is constantly trying to pull us out. So we have to choose and want this richer, wiser, more confident, resilient, authentic, pleasure-filled life. We have to employ tools such as those that are in this book or in your books or in all the classes that are available. We have to do it. Sisters are doing it for ourselves. We have to grow ourselves up. We have to bring ourselves. And then enjoy the harvest.
Enjoy the harvest. So again, I just want to say for our listeners, because we have viewers, Julia, and we're going to have lots of listeners, right, on the audio, that Julia just lifted her body up and she stretched her arms back. And the reason I'm saying this is because when that just came up out of her, I observed you, Julia, to use that your own embodiment of you know, the physical body of stretching to really allow that kind of statement to come forth. So actually, the third question that I ask is, what do you want people to do as a result of reading your book? And you really started to answer that question there right now.
I want people to trust themselves, to know that they're amazing. And there are many, many ways to love and heal themselves. And that in the end, it's not about obsessive personal development work about me, 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 me. It is about, yes, kindness to self, but it's about kindness to everyone else as well. Oh gosh, it's about so many things. There are so many messages in the book. You know, it's about having a solid foundation for your life. It's about, I can't say it all, but how I invoke the universe of deliciousness. How does the book begin? I say, there is an abundance of pleasure possible, a great deal more than all of us usually live. So one of the exercises, one of the practical exercises in the book is about pausing. I call it productive pausing. You were talking, Susan, about working with business people. And I think it comes under the medicine of slowing down. And I encourage people to interrupt their habits of go, 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 of nonstop busyness in order to start to drop into their body and into their being. So that's a good place to begin. And then from there, all the other richness of practices can bring this full-bodied sensuality that is, well, I think essential for a happy life and a good life that contributes well to this world that we're all co-creating. So it's also about, it's about relationships with nature, relationships with partners and family and colleagues.
It's so amazing. You know, friends, listeners, viewers, Julia did not know me before. She does not know she didn't know me when she was writing the book, the story of my own personal transformation. I call it my journey to the light, to my own enlightenment. But what you just described, Julia, is the story of my own journey, for sure, out of my type A imposition, as I call it, using slowing down, using nature, all these things. But I didn't invoke the power of pleasure of which you're speaking. I think that often, because again, I work with women in the second half of life, and some younger women now, younger women are finding me, but I think pleasure is not, it's taken away. We're told, you know, and it's implied and from society that it's kind of, that's not what you're going for, girls, you know, that's not what you're going for. And so rediscovering the innate joy of being, rediscovering is an important word, innate joy being. But this idea, and I've been learning it with my Qigong training, I've been in my commitment to learning before I start my program, you did it, because just before you said, I'm rubbing my own legs, you said, you know, I can feel myself rubbing my legs. I love this idea, and I want to thank you so much for bringing it to us. Let's say again how people can connect with you, Julia.
My website is called theuniverseofdeliciousness.com. The book is The Healing Power of Pleasure. I might just like give you a quick flick through. Do you want to see that? Oh, that's my notes, but there's lots of drawings in there. There's my artwork in there and poems, as well as prose and practical exercises. I'm on social media.
If you look up the word deliciousness, you're going to find Julia.
So what I want to say is that there are many, many different kinds of pleasure. All over your body can be pleasurable, not just in one specific place. All through the day can be pleasurable, not just last thing at night or at the end of your to-do list. Pleasure can be your nourishment that gives you the energy and motivation. And actually, counterintuitively, pleasure can help you to be more productive and effective. It's and it can all begin just with one finger or one feeling or one moment. It's really waiting for us to discover it.
You said counterintuitively, Julia, but when people read your book, they'll realize it's actually more intuitive.
Totally.
it's been made counterintuitive. But if you read Julia's book, The Healing Power of Pleasure, yeah. Seven Medicines for Rediscovering the Innate Joy of Being, you'll see that it is in us intuitively to feel the pleasure. It may take some work and practice to bring it forth. And there's 52 practical paradigm shifting exercises in this book to support your journey. How did I do, Julia?
You did great. I just want to add one final image, if I can, because I really liked your articulation there. Yes, it is society that is anti-pleasure, if you like. Work hard, be good. If we think of children, I think of my daughter. I'll never forget her absolute delight splashing in a puddle. Just makes us smile just thinking about it, right? And relax. Pleasure is absolutely, and happiness and joy is absolutely our birthright, is absolutely natural. And we're meant, of course, to live empowered and happy lives. Go all of us. Go all of us.
And do you want to know what I say to that blessing? Amen. That's what I say to that blessing you just shared. Julia, thank you so much for this extraordinary conversation. I absolutely love that we met through our dear friend Cornelia Stephanie. We're both leading practitioners in the KS Media Group app. You can find us both there. If you go to your Play Store, download the app, and you can connect with both of us there as well. Julia, more to come on the story of personal pleasure with you. I guarantee it. Thank Lovely. You so much.
Thank you, Susan.
All right. I'll see you soon. Take good care.